So it says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. And may the Lord bless his word here this morning. Well, this morning I want to share with you about a love overflow. A place where we get filled with love to overcapacity. To a place where we get filled with love where there's a surplus. Where we get filled with love so much that it just begins to spill over, not only in our own lives, but also in the lives of others. And that's one of the things we need to realize, that you can never have too much love. And verse 1:9 says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more. Keep growing. And that's what God wants. He wants that love to keep flowing more and more and more and more. And we all realize that as you spill out love, you get empty. So we got to keep going back to the source. Keep getting filled over and over and over again, because sometimes we get emptied out. We've helped people, we loved on people, and we gave everything that we could possibly give out. And we need to be filled again. And I believe God wants to fill us again. He wants us to keep growing, to keep increasing in this area of love. And it's really important, because God is love. And we as Christians are his representatives of love here on earth, and we're to be extensions. We're to be extensions of our Father's love. And as we live in these last days and we're looking for the appearing and return of Christ, that love even becomes more important, because God desires for us to reach thousands of people. I really believe there's going to be a harvest in the thousands just in this area alone. I really believe that. And for that to happen, then for us, we need to be filled with love. That love needs to begin to overflow and spill out upon other people. God wants to increase our love, especially as we are living in these days. And as we see signs and wonders and people having dreams and visions, God's trying to get our attention. He really is. He wants us to recognize and see with spiritual eyes what is happening really around us and what he is doing in these days. He's preparing each one of us for something great, for something wonderful. I like Philippians 1:10 and verse 27 of that same chapter. It says, I want you to understand what really matters. Because we need to get to that place that we understand what really matters in life. We kind of get confused at times. Living in our society of today, we kind of get confused of what's really important here. And the Bible says, I want you to understand what really matters, so you might live pure and blameless lives until his return. And then, as above all, live as citizens of heaven. And I think that's what God's really saying. You're citizens of heaven already. And you need to be living as citizens of heaven. You're my representatives. And so that's something that's very big. Conducting in yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Jesus Christ. As I already said to you, I had a dream last week where God was speaking to me that I needed to raise that level of love in my own life so that I may enter into this new season that God has planned for this church and for our area. And it was almost like the Lord was just wanting to remind me of how strong that there's a new season coming that you need to be prepared for. And then the next night, in the morning as I wake up, there's a message. And it's a message from a person out of Edmonton. And they had a dream about our church. They had a dream that included my wife and myself and other individuals here in our church, our worship team. And that just keeps happening. People are having dreams, they're having visions, and God is speaking, and people are seeing revival, people are seeing celebrations, they're seeing harvest, they're seeing miracles, they're seeing people being healed and delivered. And part of her dream was that she said that the words that you had upon your wall and your ceilings, and from the past into the present, they're all going to come to pass. And literally, we did have that. If you might remember, we had all these side walls covered, and those back walls, we had them covered with words that people have felt God was saying to them. And they're going to come to pass. But as those days come closer, God's saying to us, I want you to overflow in love. It's time that we look at love and raise it up. So he's not trying to say, you're doing a bad job. Not at all. He's just saying, I want you to raise it up. Let's take love up another notch. Let's go higher. God's saying, go deeper, cover yourself, build yourself up in his love. Draw close to God. God will draw close to you. Get saturated. Get filled with the love of God more and more and more. You know, we're chasing so many things in this world when God's trying to get our attention, say, you need to be chasing me right now. And if you will chase me, I will show you all these other things that you can have as well. But he wants us to chase him. We need to go deeper. That place where we begin, that it just becomes an overflow in our lives. And so as we speak about this love and overflow, I want to refer to five areas there. I believe God is wanting us to grow in this whole area of love. And the first one is kind of the obvious one, that if you're going to overflow in love, then you need to overflow in that love towards God. And that really should be an obvious one. Matthew 22:37, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. That's what we all need. We need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. And sometimes life has a way of getting into our lives and kind of stealing that, where we sometimes pursue other things before God, and God just keeps getting a back seat. And soon if we're not careful, he's at the back of a bus. He's not just in our back seat. He's at the back of the bus. Because we're chasing too many other things. God wants us to chase him. God wants us to move towards him. That the work of the kingdom needs to be prioritized in our lives again. Our focus is not to be what's going on in our world. Our focus is to be what's going on with him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and he'll give you everything you need. Make the kingdom of God your primary concern. I believe the Lord is saying, it's time to seek the Lord. I am stirring you. I'm giving you dreams. I'm giving you visions. I'm giving you words. I'm bringing people in your path. I'm letting that word be proclaimed to you, and you need to listen. You need to respond to him. And I believe the Lord is testing us right now to see where our love and where our loyalties lie. Because he's looking for people to move upon that would seek him and that would follow him and that would overflow in his love towards all those around. But first things first is our love towards God. He needs to be the one that we're seeking above all else. All else. And I know we all have things in this world, and there's, you know, lots of good things out there. I really just sense the Lord saying, you got to seek me. Remember the message to the Ephesian church and the churches of Revelation. The Ephesian church said God, he had a complaint against you. He said, you left your first love. You left your first love. Get your first love back. Your first love and your first passion towards God. We're living in a time where God's saying it's time to reorganize our priorities, where our love for God will overflow and become even stronger. So he's saying, come. Come closer. Come close. Draw close to me and I will draw close to you. And then secondly, this growth and love overflow is to be sincere. It's to be real. We don't need any more fakes. There's enough fakes out there today. There's enough people out there that are saying one thing and doing another thing. Look at our politics and how good that one's really going. God say, no more pretending. No more trying to even spiritualizing things to excuse our bad behavior. It's time to be sincere and let our love be real. Romans 12:9-10 says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I can remember as a young kid, We always used to sing this song, I love you with the love of the Lord. I used to hate that song. I really did. Because even as a very young person, I realized, you don't love that person. You're going around, you're shaking that guy's hand saying, I love you with the love of the Lord, and you hate their guts. I know what you say about them. And sometimes we just keep excusing it, right? No, God says, I want your love to be real. I want it to be real. It needs to be heartfelt, not something that's forced upon us. Love should be something that just overflows out of our lives, being spilled out upon others. 1 Peter 1:22 says, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. And again, that word all means all. With all your heart, love one another. Love your brothers and sisters. Love the family of God. We're to love one another as family. May our love grow deeper for one another. May our love grow more sincere for one another, that it would be filled with sincerity. Not just doing it for, you know, spiritual sake or to make ourselves look good, that, oh yeah, I still love so-and-so. Know that it's genuine. It needs to be genuine. It needs to be real. And God is saying to us, I want your love to be real. I don't want it to be fake. I don't want it to be forced. I want it to be so overwhelming that it just spills over out of your life. And then thirdly, God is expecting us to grow and overflow in our love with our actions. See, words are not enough. Just saying it is not enough. Love has to be shown in action. Love has to be shown in deeds. And again, we'll all be tested in this area. And, you know, even in our own relationships, in marriage relationships, you can say, I love you. How do you know that person loves you? It's not by what they just said. It's by what they do. And that's what God is saying to us as well. It's not by just our words. Yes, words are important too. But it needs to be followed up by action. 1 Peter 4:8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. We all need to realize that offenses will come. And sometimes Christians will behave badly. And sometimes your love will be put to the highest of tests. But I do believe that often they are tests. But still, love conquers all. And as we would love one another deeply, it'll cover a multitude of sin. That's what love will do. Even though the sins may be many against you, love covers them. We need that. And that's what God's saying. I want to call you deeper to that place that your love will start covering all the offenses, all the hurts, all the pain. That love will cover it all. Matthew 5, 43, 45 says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, and that way you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. To me, that comes out real strong. You need to be my true children. I want you to be my true children. My true children will be able to rise above all the circumstances, all the attacks, and all the things that come against you, and you'll be able to love. And that's what he wants. He wants to remind us that we're to take seriously that we are the representatives of God. We're God's ambassadors. And we have a job to represent our Heavenly Father well. That's our job. Even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. We're to represent our Heavenly Father's love in a true way, which requires a lot more than just the talk. It also has to require the walk. You know, and God never said it would be easy to love, but he does tell us that it's needed. And he tells us that we can come to him who is the God of love, that he can touch us, that he can fill us, that all of a sudden we're flowing in his love, not just our own, but in his love. God wants us to grow in his love, that we might represent him well, especially in what's coming down that pipeline. Because God has some good things that are coming. They really are. I like Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Kind of describes the actions we need to take when we say we love. It says, since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love that binds us all together in perfect harmony. It's interesting that God speaks of love as clothing, and that he wants us to put on clothes of love. Where do we get those clothes from? Get them from him. So God is saying, I want to replace the clothes that you have. I want to replace the love that you have, whether it's good or bad, wherever your love might be in your life. God says, I want to replace them and give you some new clothes of love. And I think for many of us, maybe that's exactly what we really do need. Maybe we've been emptied out so much that we just feel that I don't really got anything left to give out. But God's saying, surrender those clothes to me. I want to give you some new clothes that you might have a new capacity to love where you couldn't love before. Maybe you're here today and your marriage is on the rocks and you're kind of saying, well, Pastor, that would describe our marriage. Like, I don't have anything more to give. I've done everything. It's over. It's done. Maybe we need to be saying, God, I need some new clothing. Here's my old clothes. Take them and clothe me with new love and fill me up again where I've been emptied out. And he will do that. See, love involves action and it involves things like our kindness, our mercy, gentleness, patience, making allowances for one another, granting forgiveness, humbling ourselves. And really in a church setting, it's about keeping the harmony in the church because love is so important. And as we practice love, that harmony comes automatically into our churches. It's time for action, time for love to be demonstrated, even when it's difficult, because our words are not enough. It needs to be demonstrated by our actions. 1 John 3:18, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, let us show the truth by our actions. Then fourth, as we grow and overflow in love, our willingness to serve God, to serve others, to obey God will increase. When the love of God begins to become more and more and more in your life, then it gets easier and easier and easier to serve the Lord and to follow him. Love will result in a life of obedience with increasing discipline to love even more. And the more we do that, the more willing we become to obey God in everything. When the love of God fills your heart, obedience is not a problem. It's not a problem. 1 John 5, 2-3 says, we know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And that's kind of the proof of we have God's love inside of us. If you're looking at living your Christianity that, oh, it's such a chore, and oh, I hate rules, and I hate this, and you've got all these complaints, then you're not in love with him at all. Because when you're in love with God, you don't see none of that stuff. You just do it automatically because you want to. It's like being in a relationship with somebody that you really love, and when you think of marriage, and when you got married, you would do anything for that individual. You never looked at, well, I want this, this, and this to be done. Did that bother you? Not at all. Because you love them. You overlook all that. Because that's what love does. We want to flow in real love. Real love. We want to overflow in this area to that place where there's a new willingness just to be obedient to God. And that obedience would be without complaining or arguing, and God will this, and God that, I don't like this, and we should not do this. Man, you need more of the love. You get more of that love, the rest of those things, they just disappear. It's not an issue. A commandment is not an issue when you're in love. It really isn't. And that's the kind of the intimacy that God is looking for. He wants us to be in that place where we're willing to do really anything for Him. To grow in love, to overflow in love, where that willingness will increase in our lives, where we'll do anything for God. John 15:10, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Proof of intimacy is your willingness to be obedient to God's word. Saying yes. Saying yes. I really believe there's numbers of you out there today that God has been speaking to you about certain things, and he's really been looking for just a real simple response. We could have been maybe arguing with God or complaining with God, and he's just looking for one word, a one-word reply where we say yes. Yes. The answer, God, is yes. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to say yes. And I think God is looking from that from every one of us, that we would just say, okay, God, the answer is yes, even though I don't understand all these other things. I want to do what you want. Then lastly, in this growth and overflow in love, there needs to be a balance in our love. Because we don't want our love to be taken advantage of, for sometimes our love is abused as Christians. And yet, we also, at the same token as we express love, we also have to have love when we have issues of indifference that arise. Revelation 3:19 says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. That's the Lord speaking. So he says, be diligent and turn from your indifference. See, God doesn't like indifference to the church. And that's what that where that verse comes out of, Revelation 3. That's the messages to the seven churches of Revelation. God does not like indifference. And so he's telling us that we need to deal with that in our lives. Sometimes we will deal in love with others. We need to be kind and tender-hearted, merciful, forgiving. But other times when that is refused, you kind of get in that range where we often use the terminology tough love, where you may have to correct a person or you may have to discipline a person. You may remember that, or if you're still a teenager here, sometimes when you do things that are wrong, your parents are going to discipline you. They're going to bring correction in your life. You might think, oh, where's the love? Where's the love? That is love. Correction is love. Discipline is love. But sometimes we forget that as Christians, that there's kind of two sides there to love, and all that needs to be balanced. We need wisdom to love in the right way. And of course, love has to be always the motivating factor, even when we deal with correction, even when we deal with discipline. We must respond with love as we do that. Because the Bible says, you don't have love, you got nothing. So it's very important for us. So there's a balance that we need with love. Loving others involves all the attributes and qualities of love, but it also sometimes requires the caring part and sometimes involves the tougher side where we need to speak the truth with love. Most of us don't like that. I don't like it either, personally, to be honest with you. I'll just tell you simply why. When you speak with love and you need to bring correction or discipline to somebody or speak the truth in love to somebody, how does that work out the majority of times? Not well received. Why isn't it well received? We don't like discipline. We had that right in us from childhood on. We don't like discipline. We don't like correction. And we don't necessarily respond to authority that well. And so it's one of those really hard ones. But again, that's where we need to say, God, I need your love to flow through me that I would present each situation with love. There's a balance there that's needed. There's a kindness, there's a mercy, and then there's an actual correction that we may have to do. Hebrews 12:5-6 says, have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. So there is correction and discipline, even from our Heavenly Father. Doesn't mean He doesn't love you when you go through those times. That's when we really need to be saying, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? God, what are you trying to show me in this situation or this circumstance so that you can kind of get corrected as fast as possible, right? That's what we need. See, God's concerned about indifference. And especially in the church, He wants it resolved. So He tells us, speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 says that exactly. It says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. So for us to overflow in this area of love, we need to learn how to operate in all the areas of love. How to operate with kindness to forgive, and sometimes to operate with correction to restore. But no, again, both are part of love. And for us to operate well in those areas, we really need the wisdom of God. We really, really do. God, help us with your wisdom that we might operate in love and all the issues that we have to deal with in life. And that's the key. It has to be love. And so this morning, God is speaking to us and wants us to grow and overflow in love. He wants us to become stronger that we might better represent Him in this whole area of love. And I really sense that God is moving and God has some great things in store for us. And I believe those things are coming very, very near, very close at hand. But He's telling us you need to be prepared for that. Because I want you as my representatives, I want you to be representatives of citizens of heaven, that as that harvest comes in, your responsibility is going to be to love them the right way, the real way. And your love needs to increase. I realize that numbers of people have gone through things in life where your love has been damaged. Or maybe you've given out so much that you don't got nothing left to give. It's empty. And you're running on empty in that one. And I really believe that just God is saying, I want to fill you again. I want to give you some new clothes. Now, I really sense that God is just saying, not in the literal sense, but take your clothes off. Take those clothes off, those old garments, and let me replace them with a new garment of love, that I might fill you to overflowing once again, that you might have the capacity once again to flow in love for the unlovely, to flow in love for those that have abused you or hurt you, to flow in love to all those that are coming into the kingdom of God. I really believe there's an impartation here this morning for all of us that God wants to give us. Philippians 1:9, I pray your love will overflow more and more and more and more and more, and keep on growing. Keep on growing with understanding, with wisdom, with knowledge. God's wanting to give us some new garments. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back to the instruments and sing that song again that talked about that, I love you, Lord. Because the only place that we're going to get that is from Him. I can't give that to you. I can let it spill out of my life, but He's the one that brings the impartation. And I already sense God wants to fill us up again with His love, give you a new garment. He wants to equip you for what your future is, for what your future is going to hold. And maybe you have been, you know, working hard in the kingdom and doing things in the kingdom, but you've been emptied out. And sometimes that happens in the kingdom. We get emptied out. And we're kind of running on empty. We're still doing all the right things, but we're running on empty. And God says, I want to fill you up again with love. That you're going to have the capacity for all those things that are coming. For all those things that are going to start happening. He's going to give you the capacity to love them. And that's what I felt He was speaking to me too. Saying, Dwayne, I need to enlarge your capacity for what yet to come. I need you to work on that love, because there's things that are still coming that you need to be prepared for And part of that preparation is love. It needs to grow inside of you too.